Brady Shea is going to score a goal, or I am actually going to lick a Ranger.
It's a lot harder to identify an angel, Beth, because that's the spiritual world. But it's much easier to quantify the data of someone who's a warrior because they've seen war. But they're just like, by the way, the dog's kind of dangerous. Here's your children, unsupervised children, here's some pennies.
And I'm going to allow the dog to roll.
And the dog will roam free. Yeah. Best of luck. Remember to cover your neck and throat if you get knocked down. And your carotid artery above all else. There's a predator who will have an instinct.
Well, hello there. And welcome to the, I guess, the new look, new sound, Blue Shirt Banter, bantering
the
blue shirts.
A new look. You've already ruined things. It can't
well,
be a new
well,
look.
It's a new
podcast.
It's a new sound. It's a new hearing. You're hearing this.
It's a new
wonderful
audio experience.
Yes, audio experience is good. See, that's a good one, Michael. Welcome to this new audio experience. As we've warned you the past 2 weeks, we are no longer going live. We feel that we can provide a better audio quality for you if we do it this way. So we are recording and then we are uploading to Blog Talk Radio, which will automatically upload into iTunes. And since most of our listenership is through the archives anyway, I don't think that this actually deteriorates from the show at all. And we've already done a little bit of pre-podcast speaking, and we've deemed that the show already sounds better this way. So suck it, people who don't like it. It is 7 o'clock on Monday. That doesn't really matter for you right now, but it sort of does because, hey, guess what? A few days ago, Alain Vigneault was fired. Oh, wait, we didn't want to start with that, did we? I see I already ruined the podcast. We actually wanted to start with the fact that...
Why did we try to plan anything with you?
I don't know. I just got so excited.
Not start with that. Come on.
What we're going to start with is the fact that the New York Rangers and the Swamp Rabbits are no longer a thing. It's very depressing because I thought the Swamp Rabbits was probably the best name for a sports team in professional sports.
Not every sports team has a carrot in its logo like the Swamp Rabbits did. So it's a pretty devastating loss.
I mean, the Mariners, who are the new affiliate for the ECHL.
Brand new franchise.
Team. Yes, brand new franchise. They have a trident, which is pretty awesome.
Trident's pretty badass, sure.
Yeah, it's not a carrot.
Briere.
But the is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny Briere.
He was on Craig Custance's podcast, and he was talking about it. I think it was like 3 or 4 episodes back.
When you say run, is he the coach?
I think he's like the GM. I don't know
really?
What. Yeah, I'm not
sure. He's the vice president of hockey operations.
Yes, vice president of hockey operations.
He's a 33-year-old former AHL guy is the coach.
You would think that – I guess you do need a general manager anyway. But like – I mean, Drury is the guy who's sending players who aren't good enough for the AHL down to the ECHL. But I guess you can sign players to ECHL contracts. So – that is Danny Briere's job. I didn't even know. I mean, I knew he was out of hockey. I didn't know he was like on this side of hockey. Good for him. Well, anyway, there's no more Swamp Rabbits. I mean, it really doesn't impact our lives at all, but it does impact, I guess. They're from
Joe, you ready for this? They have a trident in the logo. Trident gum. Alain Vigneault. You see what I did?
I see what you tried to do, and I really have no words for how disappointing it was. I think we just need to move on from that one.
I fucking quit. I'm done.
Now we've dropped the F-bomb. We are not even 5 minutes. We're not even 5 minutes into the show. Not even five. 4 minutes and 32 seconds. I'm watching the counter.
I mean, through the magic of post-production, you can, you know, put little bleeps in and things like that. That could be fun.
Sound noises like that. That kind of a noise you're talking about.
Oh,
I also I hope you all appreciated the new opening that I put together very quickly. I'm hoping that we're going to have a little bit more to add on that, but that the
story needed more Beth shrieks.
That's, I think it needed at
least
need one
Beth to make shrieking sounds, especially Beth with I want Beth to just Beth. What was your reaction when you saw that Elaine Vigneault got fired?
Happy dance, actually. But I couldn't.
Yeah, I just want raw emotions from Beth, really. That's all.
You needed at least, I had to get the Shay licking in there. And then that story of you and the dog is easily my favorite podcast moment of all time. It's just, there's just something about it that is really magical. So I hope that all of you appreciated that. We're going to try to continue to do things like that. I have to figure out how to get new sounds in here because I only have a few of them and they're going to run stale relatively quickly. But I think it's time to talk about the big moment of the podcast. Just let this set the mood a little bit. This was the noise coming.
The worst thing to have happened.
This is the noise that is coming out of Vigneault's office as he learned that he was fired, although he probably wasn't even in his office. He was just, he was just hanging out.
I wonder if his sophisticated stats package saw this coming.
I don't know if it did. I honestly have no idea. And
see, I thought
assume
you were going to rim shot there. That was, I mean,
without a doubt, was the phrase he used, I believe.
Yes, I mean, let's start here. The Rangers fired Vigneault literally just about outside of like somebody stepping into the locker room and putting their hand up and being like, hey, you actually aren't allowed to come in here. The Rangers fired him as quickly as they could because it was, 7 hours maybe after the game was over, maybe 6 hours after the game was over that the Rangers let him go. Now, Thomas, I'm going to tell you that I'm pretty sure you're not recording right now because it's saying that your health check has failed. So I think you need to, it's saying your microphone must be properly connected and delivering an active audio signal. And when you spoke just now,
it did a wavy thing.
Did not happen.
And we have like that, Beth, what do you call it? Like the little earthquake needle. What's it called?
Seismic thing going up and down.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, or like the lie detector
did
thing.
Did you say
like
the booty thing?
It's
the
no, booty thing.
Hootie. I thought you said booty with a B. So yeah, Tom, maybe jump out.
Seismograph.
And then come back
in. Seismograph. I don't know.
Oh, that sounds great. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't. Whatever. I hear you, but the people do not hear you. The good people, because you're not making any of those booty things. So I think what we were discussing about Vigneault, like you all abandoned me on the show last week, so I had to have patron Eric
sick.
Cohn, who may I add was probably like one of the best. He was unbelievable, and for somebody who stepped up the way that he had to, it was just fantastic. It was absolutely beautiful, and he was great. And Eric, thank you. You're a loyal patron, and you're a better friend than Mike has ever been. So you're the best. Me and him were discussing all these different things that could have possibly happened with the Rangers, and we were pretty much prefacing everything with, well, we don't know what's going to happen with Vigneault. And at one point he made me give what my percentage was that Vigneault would be retained, and I pretty much put it at 30%. I said it would only be 70% that he would get fired, 30% that he'd be kept around. And boy, let me tell you, I did not expect Vigneault to get fired, like I said, 7 hours after the game. I mean, automatic reactions. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, Gorton today, you know, he did a press conference, and then he was on the Michael Kay show, and then he went on a WFAN, and he said going into that final game against Philly, they had already made their decision. But he also said when pressed about it, like at the trade deadline, I think he was under the belief, or he thought that Vigneault would be the team's coach heading into next season. And so apparently something changed there. But my my big thing with this, my big takeaway was I'm very surprised that it happened that quick. I don't think any of us really expected it to just be, you know, the axe is going to fall. You know, the guillotine came down, Vigneault's done. And, you know, now there's the nice thing is there's no kind of, oh, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? You know, when is the other shoe going to fall here? When do we get this news? Because now it's not a distraction, but it should provide us with some interesting quotes from players for breakup day and everything else, because, you know, he's been the coach for 5 years. I mean, he got the team to the cup final 1 year. He got, you know, the President's Trophy, and he didn't ultimately do what he came here to do. So I'm glad it happened quickly. I'm glad that it's over with. And now everyone can just kind of guess who's going to be the next coach. And we can also wonder why Lindy Ruff was not also let go.
I think I have an answer on that. But Tom, I'm going to let you go next just so I can see if I see the wavy things when you speak.
But everyone else has seismograms.
Yeah, we all have seismic. We have all have like the booty things, and you do
we
not.
We have booties, and you have a wiener.
Which leads me to believe that when you are speaking, like I see a blank space wiener here that nobody hears you. It scares me because there's actually no way to test it. And this is one of the pitfalls, unfortunately, of not being live, is that I know I can hear you right now, but I don't know if the people can hear you. I'm going to try to do something to your thing on its own. While I am fiddling with Tom's thing, Beth, why don't you give us your thoughts on Vigneault being fired?
While you're fiddling with Tom's thing, my thoughts on Vigneault being fired. I didn't expect it this soon or that way. I do wonder, we were talking today in the chat, I think, Tom, you were the one who brought it up about, did Torch get to do the sort of statement that Vigneault released today, I think it was, and that the Rangers put out. And I did wonder if that was a way to sort of make more respectable and amicable what did look kind of abrupt in middle of the night, which I didn't think was which exactly the thing that we didn't expect. So I did wonder if the, like, the nice friendly statement and everything was a way of sort of walking back what looked like a much more sudden axe than we thought was gonna fall. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can enjoy the playoffs now. I mean, not that it's about me, per se. It's a little bit about me. I'm about me, but...
We want it to be a little bit about you. We want you to be happy.
Exactly. And, I mean, I'm as happy as I can be at this moment because, you know, we can fight until the cows come home about what was going through their actual minds. But it happened, and as of right now, until we know what that choice is, virtually anything is possible.
It's true. I like that.
I have a question for you, Joe, and you, Beth, and Tom, if we can figure out his microphone thing. Do you think that apparently Vigneault's comments after the game, you know, that they were unsolicited? You know, he was making the case that this group of coaches was the right group for the team moving forward. Do you feel like that was a coach who kind of felt like the crosshairs were on him, or trying to save his job, or... You know, do you think that was just like, oh, you know, it just kind of happened the way it happened? Because listening to Gorton on the radio interviews today, it's clear that it felt like, you know, he kind of regretted the timing of all that. But like, the team had made its decision. It was going to do what it was going to do. But it was kind of, it was really interesting because that was one of the reasons I was most surprised to hear this news about AV is, you know, Vigneault had this kind of defense he made of, like, you know, this one of the organization's greatest assets is this coaching staff, and, you know, yada yada yada, all the stuff he put on the line. And then, you know, just a few hours later, we get the news that he's gone.
Beth, did you hit the hand raise button to speak?
Yes, Beth is very polite.
To me, it was like a supervillain monologuing in a superhero movie. It was like the guy who can't stop telling you how great he is, so then you have time to plan how to shoot him. You know, like, that was what it seemed like to me. I realize that's kind of in retrospect, but it did really sort of seem like that at the time. It was like he doth protest too much. I realize I went from superheroes to Shakespeare there, but I'm okay with that. So that was how it sort of seemed. He knew something was wrong. He was talking to sort of fill up the space. Or he's just really so damn arrogant that that was really what he thought, and he couldn't understand why no one else could see it.
Tom, why don't you go next? Because I'm going to answer Mike's question with a question, and I don't want to throw things off the rails even more than they already are. So you go next, meaning now.
I mean, I kind of agree with what Beth was just saying. It was sort of this weird situation of he's got the mic and he's just sort of just speaking his mind. And I'm just trying to think to myself, what if I had to pick like a movie and it's this sort of drawn out thing, I kind of think of The Dark Knight, where it's, you know, Harvey Dent, Two-Face on the rooftop, you know, just sort of talking to Commissioner Gordon and Batman. And it's sort of like going about like, you know, oh, you know, Gotham is falling and, you know, people need to know what's actually going to happen. And AV's like, I think that we can do this. I know that we've got good characteristics and yada, yada, yada. And then it was just his last sort of stab effort. And maybe he had a sense that he wasn't going to be able to speak to the media again. So he wanted to go down without a fight. He wanted to be confident and show that he truly felt in his heart of hearts that he was the right man for the job.
So here's, I have gotten into a couple of, I guess, spats, if you will, on social media.
Oh, no.
With certain members of the beat, and they will remain nameless because I'm a classy bitch. But this idea that Gordon didn't fire Vigneault because of his lack of player development and the lack of development for the youth. And
oh, I have a good quote on that when you're ready.
If you want to give it now, by all means.
So, obviously, Jeff Gordon, he addressed the media today, but he did something for the Rangers site, and they put it out on their Twitter, and it was sort of like jump cuts. It was questions that were asked and then his response. So one of the questions was, what are the characteristics and qualities you're looking for from your next coach? And Gordon said, and I remove the ums and ahs and stuff just for clarity, but we're looking for somebody that has a progressive mind, that's thinking the game, watching the game, seeing what's going to happen next, ability to change on the fly, see things for what they are and process that, and maybe have the team change and play a different way under different circumstances. The ability to watch players and see players, understand what they have and stick with them. Just a good person, good leader, somebody we can work with and develop young players. And I think that's pretty clear.
And that's from Gordon's comments today, which is Monday. He had a meeting with the media before breakup day, which I believe is tomorrow, Tuesday. I mean, here's the thing. If the Rangers thought that Vigneault was capable of developing young talent, they would not have fired him as quickly as they fired him, because the fact of the matter is they're rebuilding. There's young players that didn't do anything and, you know, under Vigneault, and he needed to do something about it, and he never did. So here is the question that I was going to ask that I think kind of proves my point. And Michael, because you asked the question, I will allow you to answer this question. So the Rangers decided to sell a couple of months ago. They sent the letter to the fans, and Vigneault's response was that he thought the team was a playoff team, but he had to respect the decision that was coming from management. Now, if Vigneault would have stepped up to the podium and said, you know what, things did not go the way we wanted them to. We're obviously moving in a totally new direction. My coaching staff and I thought that the team was good enough to make the playoffs. We weren't. We need to reevaluate the way that we're going to move forward, and we're going to turn with an eye towards developing prospects and getting young players a better look so that we have a better idea of what we're dealing with moving forward. If he does that and then obviously enacts it and doesn't like put Cody McLeod in the lineup and whatnot, Mike, is he still – I'm not saying he's not fired, but is he fired 6 hours after the loss against Philadelphia?
Probably not, and I only say that because of the context of Gordon feeling like Vino would still be the head coach around the time of the trade deadline moving forward, I should say. I think Vino, you know, kind of put himself in a position where, you know, he knew the team, you know, he must have known the team wasn't going to be great after the deadline. But then he continued to show, you know, all these patterns that, you know, as most frequent critics have pointed out, especially in regards to, you know, the deployment of young players, matchups, you know, defensive matchups. Although, to be fair, that Rangers blue line for the last 20 games or so was something else. It was pretty rough.
It was a thing.
It was like the Greenville Swamp Rabbits or something akin to that. But I think that there's definitely, I think the more interesting question in some ways is how far apart, you know, were Vino and Gorton? Because they weren't really on the same page, I think. And, you know, especially at the end there where, you know, Vino made his statement and then Gorton fired him. But I was wondering, like, at what point did they kind of drift apart? And at what point did, you know, Jeff Gorton feel like, you know, this was the decision he had to make? And in the interviews today, he was saying it was really the last few days of the season and, you know, talking with, you know, the team and the other guys involved with hockey operations, trying to figure out, you know, what the next step here is. And, you know, he also said things, you know, like he was asked by members of the media, like, oh, is this because AV isn't good with young players? And he said, no, it's not that. And, you know, he said all these things and he made a point, you know, you don't coach 1,000 games in the NHL without being a good coach. But he never kind of said what I felt like he should have said, which is he's a good coach, but he's not the right coach. I mean, he's not the right coach for the right time. And that, you know, that's kind of, it's said without being said by him being fired. But I don't think Vino did enough to keep his job before the deadline. In terms of, you know, what was available to him and the choices he made. And, you know, this team has had its shortcomings since October. And really the deadline and all the injuries just kind of put, you know, a magnifying glass on them. It just exacerbated all the problems. It showed just how bad things could be, especially in regards to what the hell this team is doing in the defensive zone and around their own net. And, you know, Vino definitely is a guy who had an idea of what he wanted for this team's identity. And he had a lot of ideas about the right way to use guys and the demands he had of players, particularly younger players. And, you know, he didn't get the job done. Ultimately, you know, that's why he was paid the money he was paid. It was why he earned that contract extension a few years ago. And yeah, this is kind of what happens. So I guess it's a really roundabout way of saying that I don't think there was much he could have done to keep his job because, you know, he put himself in a really tough spot and then the situation kind of got away from him.
Beth, you had your hand up first, so you go.
Okay. I was hoping that would be like more natural and zen. That quote that Tom read from Gorton, I mean, we could have written that for him. That's what blows my mind about it. Like, we couldn't have scripted a better response. I mean, it really is a laundry list of all the things we've had problems with, which makes it both incredibly gratifying, but also sort of tragic that this was known already. And it took this long to do something about it. But again, I was tweeting about this a little bit today. I don't see any message, and this is just the way these guys do things. You know, we're still going to talk about fit. We're not going to talk, as Gorton did in that quote, about the coach he actually wants, about how Vigneault has to change if he wants to succeed. That doesn't make him a bad coach. It just makes, you know, being adaptable and shifting on the fly and working with what you have instead of what you want. Those are just qualities of a good coach. And I just find it so interesting the way this conversation is going to unfold. And I mean, so this is the question that comes from me to you guys. Where's Vigneault going to go now? I mean, I know he's taking time with his family or whatever, but I mean, where do we see him from here? Because I just think the whole conversation about him being a good fit with a team that has a lot of vets, as if the league should cater to or allow this idiosyncrasy of his of not being good with youth. I mean, that just boggles my mind. Do you think the league is going to sort of reward that or be okay with that? Or do you think it's going to actually take him admitting that he needs to change for him to get another head coaching job?
What I would say is it's, I'll put it this way. Gorton said that he had this sort of assumption that he thought Vigneault would be the coach next year. And then obviously something changed, which it's a little concerning that up to this point, Gorton thought that Vigneault should be the coach, because to say he should be the coach would be to ignore everything that has gone on for the past few years. And it's a situation of, he is right in the sense that you coach over 1,000 games. I believe he's one win away from passing Ron Wilson or tying Ron Wilson for 10th most wins as an NHL coach. But the problem was, they get to the Stanley Cup final in year one, the conference final in year two, and you can legitimately argue that if Zuccarello doesn't get hurt, if you don't have other injuries, McDonough, they probably beat Tampa. And it's a situation of, from there, they got completely spanked by Pittsburgh. And then obviously we saw what happened last year with Montreal and then Ottawa. But Vigneault's inability to make changes, I think, was the biggest problem. And it was something that we asked for, and it was legitimate questions. It was a situation of, okay, here's a end result. Here's the players that were on the ice. What could have been done differently? And if you're in that situation again, will you adjust? And then it's the classic, oh, I lost Brady Shea on the bench. And it's just things of that nature. It's not really questions. It's like, okay, he gave an answer. He lost them. He didn't have his Where's Waldo's glasses to go find them, I guess. And then obviously this year, it's a situation of, okay, he has injuries. And for the life of me, I don't understand why in a, I would say a lost season. Yes, they didn't wave the white flag until February. And then even still after they waved the white flag with that letter, they won games and they were competitive. In this scenario of all scenarios, with the young players they have on the roster, why don't you literally stress test them? You play them as much as possible. You see if they sink or swim. And then that's valuable information going into a situation where they're going to have to re-sign some of these players. There's going to be situations where you want to know, it's not this summer, but it'll be next summer. Is Pavel Buchnevich getting a bridge deal? Is it a situation of, well, we've seen enough to suggest that he's going to be this type of player, so we feel comfortable signing him to a contract? One of the biggest things that annoys me as a fan is people always say, well, the Rangers don't have elite young talent, or they don't have young talent on manageable contracts. Yet every opportunity, they don't take these players that are being paid minimal amounts of money and get a good return on their investment, meaning they don't play them to the max to see what they have. And then they go in between, and then they bridge deal. And then obviously that happened with Stepan, that happened with Miller. They don't have the ability to do that with Hayes, because he's a year away from unrestricted free agency. But I'm very interested to see who the next coach is, because if it's who Gorton is sort of intimating, where it's this sort of young coach that can coach young players, then next year will be very important, because you'll be pretty much setting up some next contracts, and it'll determine what type of moves that they do after that, whether it be through free agency or through trades.
Joe, you said yes. that you might have an idea of why Lindy Ruff has not been let go yet before. And you said, I might have an answer to that. You said it very smug. You said it like a very know-it-all-y. And I want to know what you meant. What do you mean, Joe?
What do you think you know? Before I answer that question, what I'm going to say in final response about Vigneault here is that I also, to answer my own question, I don't think it would have saved his job if Vigneault turned an eye to the future. But I find it laughable when these beat reporters make comments like, sorry, it had nothing to do with the way that he treated, you know, players like Buchnevich and Miller and whatnot, because the Rangers are rebuilding. They're not doing this for nothing. They're rebuilding because they weren't good enough. And if they thought Vigneault was capable of actually utilizing and developing young talent, he would still be here. Vigneault gave this impassioned speech about how good he is with that aspect of the game. And Gordon looked at him and went, out. And he's out. He's gone.
God damn it.
So don't tell me that the Rangers are just
wacky morning radio now.
That the Rangers. Tuesday. Don't tell
Coming
me that the Rangers are doing
traffic drive by at 5. Here's Donnie. Donnie, what's going on the freeway, Donnie?
It's baseball season, Mike.
There's a bunch of fucking cars. It is gridlock.
Yeah, we have a few of these that we can use, and we're gonna have to get more of them.
My
I just
voice
don't
isn't
know.
Quite recovered yet? I apologize.
I don't understand how you could just look at this and think that the Rangers were moving on because of, like, say, the team's defense or the everything. By the way, I do think we need to say this: everything that Gordon has done and everything that Gordon has said since that letter was released just screams intelligence. The moves he made, the way he moved them, the things that they prioritized, the decisions that he's doing, or the decisions that he's making, everything that Gordon has done has left me thinking, wow, this is the direction that I want the team to move in. And with that said, to answer your question, Mike, I think
finally
the Rangers are giving Lindy Ruff the benefit of the doubt. And because he just came here last year, they don't want to just kick him out on his ass. They think that he deserves a little bit more respect. So it's going to be a meeting with him and Vigneault, and he's going to be able to walk away on his own terms. That's what I think it's going to be. Because if the Rangers honestly believe that Lindy Ruff helped anything with the defense, it's absolutely shocking. The only way that Ruff could possibly be saved is if he went into Gordon's office after the game against Philadelphia, or maybe before the game against Philadelphia, I don't know. And he said, hey, I've tried to do X, Y, and Z with the defense. Vigneault told me, no, these are some of my ideas for moving forward. And the Rangers thought, huh, that would be awesome if he actually was able to implement those things. Okay, you can stick around for another year. But I don't think that's going to happen. Some of the things that we're hearing the Rangers saying about people that they're looking for, the quote, the Tom game, the fresh face, they need someone to develop the players. I have a couple of coaches that I think the Rangers are going to be very interested in, mainly Sheldon Keefe, I think, is really the biggest name. He's the head coach of the Toronto Marlies, which are one of the best teams in the AHL this year. He has had an unbelievable just role in developing some of the most important players that have come up through that system in Toronto, and he's been part of a rebuild. He knows what he's in for. So Adam put together a relatively comprehensive list about other 9 coaches that are possibly on the Rangers' radar. Keith was obviously one of them. My boy Ram Pecknold from Quinnipiac was on there, who I think would be an unbelievable coach at the NHL level. There's definitely some intriguing NCAA guys.
It really does.
Ram Pecknold.
It sounds like
he'll come. He's going to come to your house and he's going to fight you. That
sounds
all.
Like a fantasy novel I wrote in like a. The kid has an ability to talk to trees, and his name is Rand Pecknold, and he wears like a leather. Beth, what do you call that? A jerkin? A leather jerkin?
Yeah, see, a leather jerkin.
Yeah. Did you actually write that novel?
No.
Did you write a novel about a fairy who could talk to trees?
No, I wrote, when I was younger, I wrote a novel or
about dwarves, right?
A young dwarf, yeah.
Yes, and I asked you to send it to me and you never did.
No, never did.
I want you to. If you don't, this friendship is over.
That's fine. It's really run its course.
I need it because you're an unbelievable writer. Just an idea of a young Mike would just please me immensely. Tom is also bringing something up in the chat room that I think is important, which is that who was it? Was it Dubas?
Kyle Dubas, yes.
Yeah, he was liking tweets about Keith potentially getting an NHL job.
He actually liked Adam's
tweet.
And the
Rangers interest in him.
About the,
he did like Adam's tweet. That's correct. So there's definitely that. I mean,
I just want to hear a kid without his front teeth try to say Sheldon Keefe.
Sheldon Keefe. I'm just thrilled that
that's what I want.
Listen, you never want to wish a guy ill. I hope Vigneault is probably going to go get hired, and he may be successful depending on where he goes. Because if you put him in a locker room with a ton of veterans, entrenched leadership, and no real kids coming up through the system,
he's fine.
I mean, that's what it was in 2014. It's when that turnover occurs, and you have these guys that are trying to force vets out of the lineup, that it's a problem. And I think that's why you've seen Vigneault not work in the places that he hasn't worked, mainly Vancouver and New York. But it is a much brighter future for the Rangers without him, unfortunately. As terrible as that may be to say, it's very true. The Rangers are in much better shape right now than they were, I mean, I guess 48 hours ago.
You jerk.
No, she doesn't.
I just took it down. I do want to hear the name of a team that is so vet heavy that you'd hire a head coach that
heavy with vets.
With youth that
just vets all over the place.
So many vets.
I didn't have vets. I didn't have a team in mind, to be honest with you. I don't know if I have no idea if there's a team out there that would benefit from Vigneault.
That was kind of the point I was making before. Like, I agree with that, but I don't understand what that means or what team that would be.
I think he could actually, if we were to put a team out there, if the Washington Capitals flame out in the playoffs, Barry Trotz does not have a contract through this season. If you put Vigneault on the Caps, a team with just a ton of offensive star power that can just pretty much play and really doesn't need much coaching, that theoretically could be a good fit. And especially if they are able to keep Grubauer around and he is their starter, I think that would be a logical fit. That's really not much hands-on that he'd have to do. I don't know if the Flames are going to keep their coach. I think it's Glenn Gulson around. I think that the Oilers, so far, they're going to keep Todd McClellan. But I could potentially see the Caps. It would sort of be another veteran coach, and it would be one that just hands off for the most part.
Yeah, I could actually – they're a relatively logical fit. And it's funny that you bring them up because Larry Brooks talked about how Barry Trotz might be somebody who's on the Rangers' radar, which would be absolutely – that would be just the worst. Larry Brooks mentioned John Tortorella. I don't see any way that either of those are possible. I think the Rangers, and Gordon even made a comment about the Rangers needing a fresh face. They're not going to go in the direction of somebody who has no coaching experience. So sorry, Messier and St. Louis, although I think there might be an opportunity for St. Louis to be an assistant on this team if he wants to be. There was a report, I'm pretty sure, that came out yesterday, too, that the Rangers talked to St. Louis about being the head coach of the Hartford Wolfpack, didn't they?
That is correct.
He turned it down. He didn't think it was the right time, so they moved in another direction. Or maybe they didn't even offer him the job. They just spoke to him, and he politely told them it wasn't something that he was prepared to do. But the fact of the matter is the Rangers do have pretty good options on the table. And if Gordon is going to go for a fresh face, it really feels like Sheldon Keefe is the guy who would be the best fit and somebody that the Rangers are interested in. Tony Granato, who I believe is the coach of the Wisconsin hockey team, the Wisconsin Badgers. Jim Montgomery is the head coach of the Denver hockey team, the Denver Pioneers, I believe. And Rand Pecknold, of course, is my boy up at Quinnipiac. I think are other names from the NCAA that may make sense for the Rangers, guys that are, I think if you're looking at rebuilding, there's definitely a benefit to getting a college coach because they're rebuilding every 4 years. You're rebuilding every year. You're dealing with a new crop of players. You never have the same team together year to year. So I definitely think there's something to be said there. I just don't know what direction the Rangers are going to go in that regard. And listen, as good of a couple of days as it's been for the Rangers, they, you know, their loss to Philadelphia assured them the eighth best wild card or the eighth best lottery draft odds. I think they have a 6% chance for the number one overall and a 19% chance at a top three pick. I don't know if we're going to see, they could still make a decision that would be dangerous to the franchise. And I don't think they're going to. Like I said, everything Gordon has said has made me very, very, very happy. I think he's looking at this the right way. I think he's treating this the right way. But there's definitely, oh my God, Mike is just giving, Mike is giving all of the chat room names that he would do, and they're highly inappropriate. But that last one was unbelievable. Maybe we'll release that to the patron.
That's just what I need for my professional career. Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
that's a patron only one right there. I think the Rangers are going to go in the right direction on this one. And that's that. Does anyone
is Sather have, still here?
Oh, you know what? So that's an interesting. It's interesting that you brought that up because I had a question that I wanted to ask you guys. Because I feel this way, and I'm the most important person in the world.
How do you guys ask all the questions?
Well, to answer that question briefly, didn't he sign, I think, a 2-year extension that would take him up into the lockout potentially? I think that was reported that he had.
I think he did sign. Well, and it's not.
Yeah, but the ravages of time may have forced him to change his mind.
So here's my question: do you truly believe that this is now Jeff Gordon's team?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it certainly didn't feel like his team until recently.
No, he just pissed it out and pissed all over the place. It is his team now. His hand has been.
That's Shea Licker.
Again, things that were supposed to be private to people who can see the screen.
Oh, that's right. That's supposed to be private to only people. Well, if Brady Shea has listened to this podcast at all, he's heard you bet to lick him. If he it didn't score a goal, and then he did, which is absolutely awful. It's the only time in my life I've ever been upset. It's exactly why he had a really bad
sophomore year.
Who knows? Maybe Kreider warned him about you. Although what Kreider's gripe is with you, we still have yet to figure out.
We'll never know.
Mike, what do you think? This is Gordon's team.
I feel like it's Gordon's team, and if it isn't there, it's going to be there by draft day. An interesting comment he made was that he doesn't think having the head coach there on draft day is necessary or that it's important. I forget how he phrased it, but you get the sense that, you know, he has a very clear idea of what this team needs, what its identity ought to be. He's talking about, you know, kind of agreeing with his collaborators there in that cabal in the front office about what the criteria is here for what they're looking for in a head coach. And, you know, we heard Tom read the quote and all the buzzwords with, you know, adaptable young players, you know, bippity bippity bip. And I feel like he has to, you know, he has to kind of make a statement with what he does. Not just with a coach, but of course on draft day itself, because the other thing, I don't know if we want to get into this, but, or if we're going to look at this as our transition, Joe, it's a smooth transition of what to do in regards to sweet Christ.
We do this one for the transition.
All right. Transition.
Transition noise.
All right, go ahead, Mike. You're set up now.
That makes me want to play like a side-scrolling platformer, like Sonic the Hedgehog or something. I don't know why. Anyway, transition.
You're a fool.
the other thing that Gorton really has to do is put, you know, put his stamp on what the hell he's going to do on draft day. And then, you know, Bob McKenzie seems to be convinced that the Rangers are going to be in on Erik Karlsson one way or another. But we've also heard a lot about Ilya Kovalchuk recently. And there's even been reports that the Rangers and Kovalchuk have, you know, agreed to a contract for around $6 million a year for 2 or 3 years. And of course, none of that is technically allowed. Nothing's official yet. It can't happen until July 1st, but we'll have to see what happens. How long does your sound clip play?
I ended it. Anyway, moving forward, discussing Karlsson and Kovalchuk, there's a report out there that the Rangers have signed Kovalchuk to a 2 or 3 year deal worth $6 million a year. The Rangers have since come out and denied the report because they have to, because it would be collusion and tampering if they did not.
Against the rules.
It is against the rules. I don't see any way that the Rangers are interested or really interested in Karlsson. It's just absolutely anti-rebuilding. You're going to get, first of all, whatever it takes to get Karlsson, those are assets away from the team. And then you're going to have to sign a 30-year-old defenseman with half an ankle to an unbelievably large contract that will probably be amazing until it is no longer amazing, and that's probably midway through. So,
to be fair, he still has one good ankle.
He does have one good ankle. So he has one and a half working ankles.
Yeah, one and a half.
Maybe Hankel convinced him to take a discount.
Which, you know what? He may take a discount just to get out of Ottawa. But I don't – it just doesn't make sense that the Rangers would look at him and think he's a guy that we need to give all of our assets to, because I don't think he makes the Rangers good enough on – and you're destroying your cap space.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago forward. Maybe. It's a thing that I'd love to see happen, and even Karlsson said today that he wants to remain a part of this team regardless of what happens, he'll retire. I mean, good for him. He wants to be really loyal to the franchise, and it's, you know, it's more so the franchise than it is the actual owner. And so,
yeah.
But yeah, what do you think has a greater odds of happening, them being in on Karlsson or them being in on Tavares, just for the fact of the money that would be involved and the sort of epic heel turn it would be for Tavares to just sort of, you know, come into the Rangers from the Islanders?
I think they're going to be in on both of them, because there's no reason not to kick the tires on either situation, even if you are rebuilding. Tavares is free, quote unquote, so I think there's more of a likelihood of him coming to the Rangers from a financial standpoint. And I just
need a captain.
I don't see how Karlsson works. I also don't see how adding a center works either. Unless the Rangers
have a lot of
decisions to make. But Beth, what are your thoughts?
It would infuriate Islanders fans so much that it.
Oh, how amazing would that be?
It's a move of pure spite that it would be almost purely political. We don't really need the center, but oh my God, the mileage they can get out of the rivalry of him coming back and playing against the poor Islanders. I mean, did I just say poor Islanders? Slap me. Somebody else talk.
We can't slap, but we can pretend to slap, I guess.
Thing should be for slapping instead of raising your hand. But
yes. Oh, wait, is that your entire response?
It really kind of ended. Karlsson has a lot of baggage and half an ankle. Tavares would just be pure fun, and oh my God,
for shot in Florida. That's all. The Beth just wants a horrible thing to happen for Islanders fans.
Which is absolutely fine. I don't care about the whole Tavares aspect of being an Islander or whatever. I think both players would help the Rangers. I don't think either players are a fix. That's all. Or fit. That's all. I don't know. Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, the point you raise, it seems almost like something some people would just dismiss, like, well, you know, for a player like Tavares, you make exceptions. But of all the positions the Rangers need to look at in terms of free agency and where to make waves, a center is not, you know, a need right now, just from an organizational, like, from the perspective of what's in the organization, what the prospect pool looks like. Of course, a lot can change on draft day. You know, Spooner and Vlad Nemestnikov are both RFAs, but, you know, do you move also Kevin Hayes for that matter? But, like, you know, you have to move a lot of things around to make Tavares make sense. Of course, he is one of those guys where, like, yeah, you move, if you can get him, you move heaven and earth. But I agree with what you're saying, especially about Carlson. I do think it's interesting, you know, Bob McKenzie made a point to say, you know, if you think that the Rangers rebuild is going to be this team filled with a bunch of 18-year-olds, you're kidding yourself. And you know, the Rangers want to be competitive. They're New York, and they kind of don't know any other way. But we also, you know, we just kind of talked about how this is Gorton's team now and how he has to put a stamp on things and establish, you know, this is the right way to do this. And I feel like what we're going to see is this a middle ground where we're probably going to see more veterans become a part of this team than some of us might like, but there are going to be a lot of opportunities for young guys, and especially on that blue line, because unless the Rangers, you know, pull off a lot of, you know, magic and fireworks and crazy sex magic on draft day, they're going to have a really young blue line. And, you know, Gilmore, Pionk, you know, they're all guys, D'Angelo, all guys who have, you know, kind of made a case for being here. And I really wonder what the hell you'd have to do to get Carlson. I think the Rangers will inquire because you have to, just like you have to pick up the phone and ask about Tavares. But, you know, Carlson is not that easy. Like, we heard that, you know, Ottawa wants to get rid of Bobby Ryan in a Carlson trade we heard a couple months ago. And, you know, you're going to have to give up a lot. And that, like you said, Joe, from the standpoint of a team that's trying to rebuild, get younger, you know, what prospects and how many picks do you have to give up? And, you know, we also heard, of course, the big thing is Ottawa, you know, needs to rebuild desperately, and they have no picks heading into this draft. Nope. So, you know, it feels like there's an opportunity there for the Rangers just be like, hey, we have those picks you want. You want to give us Carlson? But I don't know what sort of package would justify, you know, all right, well, now we're this bad team with its, you know, very clear flaws and problems, and now we just have Erik Karlsson and his 1.5 ankles and his need for a new contract soon.
Yeah, and that's really the big thing that worries me. It's not the fact that Carlson's not going to be productive. It's the fact that Carlson will be productive, but for how long? And you're signing the guy to an 8-year deal. Carlson could easily demand Connor McDavid money of $12.5 million, and I don't think anybody would bat an eyelash at that. So when you look at the Rangers' options here, I just don't see how Carlson makes sense. I don't see how Carlson is somebody that you build around long term. Even with Carlson and Kovalchuk, the Rangers don't really have – you're not fixing all that much. And the Rangers do have some issues in terms of what are they going to do with all the centers that they have. I mean, I'm going to tell you that if Kovalchuk comes, I think Zuccarello is definitely gone. And that may be difficult to swallow, but it is what it is. I don't know. There's that Beth screen. One of Spooner, Nemestnikov, and Hayes is going to be gone. I don't think it's going to be Hayes, especially with the way he finished the year. Spooner is making a very interesting case to stick around long term. And there's just this idea that Nemestnikov is lazy and Russian. Well, he's definitely Russian. And all these things that the media seems to love to jump on. So I don't know, but all three of them can't stick around. Hedl's a center. Anderson is a center. There has to be a give someplace. And I do not know I do not know what the answer is, and I don't know where it's going to come from. But I do think that I am the greatest podcast host of all time. Do the people agree? Oh, you guys. Okay.
That one you really do have to edit out. That's the worst thing you've ever done.
It's the dust ruffled story. And that story Tom told. Not Tom. Mike, whatever that thing was.
What story did I tell?
Never mind. We probably shouldn't even talk about it. Can I ask a Zook question, though?
You can ask as many Zook questions as you want.
I mean, I know it's emotional. I know it's not coming from a logical place. I have a hard time with a Zook trade just because I know. I know all the wrong reasons, but he is the heart of the team. It's hard to imagine not having that consistency of him going into a rebuild. The guy leads the team in assists. Like, is it really worth it to the franchise? I mean, can you really – what is a return that really equals Zook in Ranger – I mean, and talking Ranger Town, not just on the ice. But on
I think that's the problem is that we're talking about Zuccarello, who means so much more to the franchise than your average bear. You know, he's just so good. He does all the right things. He's puts his heart out on the line. The guy had a brain injury and was desperate to come back to the team. He does things the right way. You can play ambassador. Him and Hank do a lot of work in that regard overseas. He's quirky. He's funny. The Rangers trade away all of his best friends. I think the team would be a darker place without him. Even if they were winning next year, I think they'd be a darker place without him. But can you logistically keep a 31-year-old Zuccarello for one more year and lose him for nothing at the end of the year?
Well, no. You trade him at the deadline. I think the real question is –
You don't think he'd have more value now?
I think it's hard to say, really. I feel like, you know,
trade him at the deadline and let him come back, right?
But you could have that conversation with him now. It's illegal, but you could have that conversation with him now. Hey, we're going to trade you, and we're going to give you a shot.
Yeah, but they're already talking to Kovalchuk. So, I mean, rules be damned.
Yeah, well, absolutely, rules be damned. I just don't. I think Zuccarello has far more value right now than he does.
I feel like we talked about this already, but do you feel that the next captain of the team is on the roster right now? Because if it's not Zuccarello,
who
is it?
That's the important point.
It's only Zuccarello.
I think that's the point right there. I feel that if he was going to be the captain, there would sort of be rumblings of that. And I don't know how you can have a situation of him being still on the roster and they make someone else captain. It's a situation where it seems like, I forget who wrote it, but it's something about the Rangers having, you know, a abundance of type A or type B personalities, and they needed more of the other. And the next captain is someone that'll likely come from the outside. And then they pointed to the fact that they were looking to sign Joe Thornton last summer, and that would have been someone that would have represented that. I mean, I like Zook that he sort of tells it like it is, and especially after that letter came out and he was sort of like, well, we're still going to play games and things of that nature. But I could see them
he was still trying to win.
What was that?
I just had a little outburst. It's okay.
But yeah, I kind of find it hard for them to keep him and not make him the captain.
Zuccarello is the captain on the team right now, unless you're doing Lundqvist. And I don't think
that's against the rules too.
So,
God's sakes.
I don't know. I love how everybody says, well, it's not going to be in this team. How do you know there's not a leader in this team? Seriously. Do you need a captain next year? Honestly, do you need to go with a captain next year?
You don't need to, no.
Does it make that much of a difference?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, it would
be nice.
I actually think it does with the youth that we're going to have and the change in a coach. And yeah, I do think there needs to be some.
I'm on board with Beth. I don't, you just changed my mind.
I do not disagree. about room leadership. I absolutely do not disagree about that. Do you need a captain, though? Do you have to have a captain next year?
You have to have you got to put it somewhere, Joe. You can't just keep it in the drawer.
Well, the Rangers have kept it in the drawer before.
Yeah, but things were terrible then. I'm just saying things now. I don't even remember.
I don't think you need to have a captain. I don't think
you need to.
Of course
you don't need to.
You simply make him the captain.
I think it would help if you had some sort of avatar, like a representation of this is the new identity of the team, our new coach, youth movement, and this is our new captain, especially because I think it's especially noteworthy because the last captain was a younger guy. Like, this isn't like, you know, we're having, you know, McDonough was an excellent Ranger, I should say, before moving forward with what I'm about to say. You know,
so was Callahan. Doesn't make him a good leader.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the transition.
I thought Callahan was a better leader than.
It just doesn't. I don't disagree with you. I think that having a captain would be better than not having a captain. I don't think it makes that much of a difference. I don't think the Rangers need to go out and sign a bad hockey player because he's a good leader. I don't think that matters.
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. God, no. That's not what we're saying. No, I agree with that. No. Definitely.
I just or even a mediocre player. I just don't see the need for it. And I don't know if Vigneault was still around, Faust could have been the captain. I don't know. Oh, we have no idea. We just don't know. But this can't be, you know, this quick, oh, we have to make this decision right now. That has to be on the back end of things for me. Elias Anderson is supposedly captain material. Ryan Lindgren is captain material. I don't care. It doesn't mean anything to me. Because the Rangers, if all the reports can be believed, didn't have a captain in Ryan Callahan. And apparently Ryan McDonough wasn't vocal enough in the room. So, and Jágr was an admittedly terrible captain. Leitch hated being a captain. Drury, I guess, was a good captain, but the room was fractured with Jágr and he didn't last. So when was the last time the Rangers had a real captain? It was Messier.
Kelly Kissio.
It was Messier. Son of a bitch. Who will not be coaching the Rangers next year. So,
I mean, they have the same number. So, I mean, you didn't have to be that rude. That was close. They're both also alliterative. Kelly Kissio. Mark Messier.
Mark Messier. Yep, they are.
You done now?
If the Rangers trade Zuccarello, they have to get a basket full of puppies and happiness back. Because the void that will be left could collapse this fan base.
I think it would be
a black hole event. It's catastrophe.
I think Beth, I definitely think
Beth
it
is the oracle
difficult.
Of calamities, and she knows these things, and she can feel it. She can feel it in her very bones that this will unmake things. You can't do it.
My bones.
In the bones.
Yeah, it's.
A lot of my optimism and happiness right now would be gone if Zook left, and I don't care who the hell they get.
You got to get so many puppies back, like an untold number of puppies.
Yeah, I want Carlson, Tavares, and a whole lot of puppies.
Could you? What would you find to be an acceptable return for Zuccarello, though?
Like 19 corgis.
I don't like corgis as a dog. I'm just going to
Dougie
say
Hamilton.
That.
But you'd have to add something to it.
Zeus is not quantifiable.
Dougie Hamilton holding a bunch of corgis and a Jack Russell Terrier and like a pug.
What about what kind of dog was the dog that attacked you with the pennies?
Oh, that was a big dog. It was like the size of a Saint Bernard sort of dog.
All right, so here's the deal. The Rangers don't trade Zuccarello.
You know the dog from Sandlot? The Sandlot dog? It was like that.
It's a Mastiff.
Yeah, it was a Mastiff.
So the Rangers don't trade Zuccarello, but in return, Mike, you need to live with that Mastiff that hates you.
That's fine. I'm 6'2" now. I don't care.
Yeah, the Mastiff is probably 6'2" as well.
Yeah, but that Mastiff's also dead. Dog years. He's dead.
I'm saying it. You know what? You've ruined this. You've ruined this.
He's filled with worms now.
Oh, my God. Stop it. What is wrong with you? You're talking about a dog, you animal.
Dog's an animal.
Let's just charge ahead to the next topic. This soundboard is going to get me in trouble. I'm liking the soundboard a lot, though.
Do they have any
break your goddamn fingers.
I don't know. They may have some hockey ones. I'm not sure. You know what, Michael? The people love my soundboard action. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. Mike, you hate, we can end on this too, because we've,
okay, we'll end on something.
Mike, you hated the idea of Kovalchuk.
I did.
What do you think about him coming for 2 or 3 years?
3 years is a nightmare. It's a living nightmare. I say that, you know, with tongue in cheek a little bit, but I do think 3 years is a really bad idea. We know what he looks like in the KHL. The KHL is not the NHL. We know that he can be successful here, but that was a younger version of him. We've seen players recently jump from the KHL and have success in the NHL. But we haven't seen, you know, a guy of his advanced age make that jump and still prove to be not just like a role player, but an impact player, a guy who plays 19 minutes a night as a forward. And I think Ilya Kovalchuk is a world-class talent. I think he has one of the best shots ever. I definitely have concerns about investing in him when there are other guys you can invest in and when there are other things that you might pursue. I have no problem with like a 1 or 2 year commitment that doesn't handcuff the team in terms of the salary cap. And, you know, it doesn't handcuff the team in terms of bringing in, I'll phrase this delicately, like the wrong element, but I feel like Kovalchuk is not the wrong element. My initial knee-jerk reaction was, you know, this guy left the NHL under these circumstances. You know, he hasn't played NHL hockey in how long? He's this old. And, you know, I've read up since then. You know, I've read the opinions of some people that people I trust and people, you know, who have enlightened opinions on things like this. And I feel like Kovalchuk has an opportunity, especially in regards, as Tom, you know, Tom pointed out in the news story he got up today about the Kovalchuk rumors, about, you know, the impact on the Russian players, you know, specifically Nemestikov, if he's still here, Buch and Rykov and, you know, Shesterkin and et cetera, et cetera. And there's definitely something to be said about, you know, a guy who's been there. He can show the ropes to young guys. He can definitely make, you know, build a bit of a bridge between the North American players and the Russian players. So there's a lot of things I like. The stuff that worries me is 3 years is a big investment for a guy his age. And we also know that there are going to be other guys there in free agency. Tavares is one we talked about, but I don't think this is a question of Kovalchuk over Tavares. It's not that simple. I want nothing more than the Rangers to find a great leader for that top six role if they feel like they need that. And, you know, Rick Nash unfortunately had that concussion, and, you know, his future just doesn't look as clear as it
yes.
did. And he would have been a great, great Thank guy for that role. I have concerns about Kovalchuk, but I don't know, Joe. It's tough. I'm not as, you know, anxious about it as I was when we first brought it up, but I still think there is cause for concern. I feel like you can make a pretty bad mistake with a Kovalchuk contract. The good news is, because of his age, you can't make like a monstrous mistake, because if the most he's asking for is 3 years and you want 1 year, it's likely that you'll land on a 2 year deal. And, you know, I feel like that is not a terrible thing. I don't feel like that'll make or break the Rangers. You know what I mean?
3 years, I don't even think would be a nightmare. Kovalchuk is going to be, if he's not a 60-plus point player, I would be shocked. And the Rangers don't have a lot of that. I mean, this is
a
guy.
What did you say about Nemestikov? Remind me. How many goals did you think he could score, Joe?
I 25.
Yeah, that's what you said.
But he hasn't not done it yet.
You thought he was going to be something.
But he hasn't not done it yet.
But his numbers were inflated, Joe.
He hasn't not done it yet. Anyway, Kovalchuk has, and let me look up the numbers because I had it before. He was well over a point per game, and I looked at just his last 2 years because there's a lot of argument that how old he is, that that's a huge problem for the Rangers. And I just don't see it that way. You're talking about a guy who...
But we don't even know what the hell the systems of the team are going to be. We don't know what the Rangers' offense is going to look like. I mean,
sure, we have no idea.
There's a lot of question marks here, and we know nothing.
And there's no AV to get it, you know.
Well, hold on, Beth.
Get it all jumbled up.
Do you feel in your bones, as the Oracle of Calamities, is this something the Rangers should avoid?
I have no idea. Like
that's not the way that the Oracle of Calamities works. Beth just says terrible things,
Joe,
and then they
son of a bitch.
When it happens.
Even the Magic 8-Ball has an option that says ask
Your
again
Honor,
later.
Objection. Leading the witness.
Overruled.
No, it's sustained because I'm the judge.
He will go dark.
that's more of what I was expecting, but it was bizarre.
I like how Beth has become like a seer.
Ask me about him.
Over the last 3 years.
Anyway, the last
Kovalchuk has a 1.17 points per game. That's 163 games played, 190 points. And then
Yeah, the man is an animal.
Wow.
Playing on the KHL's all-star team.
Sure, but he makes that team an all-star team.
He's one of the people who does, yes.
Even at 35 years old, I think Kovalchuk would be the best offensive player the Rangers have had since Jagr. Oh, there was a strange feeling in my tummy, and it was Stanley. And now my wife is handing me the baby because apparently she's done with him or her. Yes, Kovalchuk would be the best player that the Rangers have had since Jagr. He'd be a trigger man on the power play with Zibanejad. Tell me why this wouldn't work. You're not contending next year, theoretically. You're probably not contending the year after. But Kovalchuk doesn't make the Rangers any worse.
I just feel like we don't know enough yet to be like enthusiastic about it. I'm very intrigued.
What don't you know?
We just talked about what we don't know. We don't know what the systems are going to be. We don't know what the head coach is going to be. We don't know what the free agent market's going to look like. We don't even know who the hell's going to be here after June 22nd and 23rd.
Why has he been in the KHL for 5 years? Just go back to the stupid place and tell us the story. Why is he not in the NHL already? Trust me, there are other people.
Because he quote-unquote retired after signing a ludicrous contract with the Devils that circumvented the CBA.
Yeah, the last 6 years we're going to pay him, I think, like $750,000 a year. And Putin was just like, hey, we'll give you literally trillions of rubies.
And
rubies?
So he...
Is it rubies or rubles? Rubles, tax-free.
Did you think the currency of Russia was called rubies?
I did. I knew it was either rubies or rubles. I knew it was one of the two of them.
Oh my god.
You're gonna hate when that's edited out of the podcast, but nothing else is edited out.
Oh my god, Joe. That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
It's like Zelda, they pay everything in rubies.
That's rupees.
Well, yeah, but I'm just making a joke at this point.
Friggin' laptop, so it's awful.
It's so adorable.
What are you saying about
rubies?
The rubies versus rupees. Cause spit take. Oh, here's my husband with a towel. Thank you, sweetie.
Oh, that's nice.
We're getting help from everybody.
Mr. Beth.
For Mr. Beth.
Mr. Beth.
Anyway, that's why he went to Russia. It wasn't because he couldn't swing it in the NHL. He just wanted money.
No, not at all. He was still a tremendous player with the Devils.
He also helped out the team by leaving financially, as I pointed out.
It's true. Lou Lamoriello really forced that in on him.
Yeah, but there's some of that is kind of in retrospect. Like, not all of that was known at the time, especially the first thing the NHL did is we're going to take away a first
round pick.
Well, the
story of them being in debt ran before he retired, and then the team was sold shortly after that. So at the time, you could kind of connect the dots.
I know. Yeah, and I appreciate that. I also think it's worth saying Kovalchuk's last season in the NHL, he had 37 goals and 83 points. I mean, that's 2011 and 12, but it gives you a very good idea of how exceptional of a player he was and can be. And I'm sorry, his last season in the NHL was 2012-13 when he had 31 points in 37 games. So he's not that far removed from being an elite NHL player. The things I wonder about is like, oh, you know, you could find yourself getting a little too ambitious with a contract with him. But right now, because of all the decisions the Rangers made, they have a lot of cap space. Even if, you know, God knows what's happening with Brendan Smith and everything else, and there's obviously no rush to buy out Mark Stahl, but you know, there's plenty of money for the Rangers to play with. I just wonder if, you know, they're more targeting younger guys who can be a part of the team for, let's say, the next 5 years instead of the next 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean? That's kind of the only part of me that makes me question it. But at the same time, I can't even give you like a list of guys who are becoming, you know, free agents on July 1st that feel like, oh, this is why we shouldn't get Kovalchuk, because it's not easy. I mean, it's a really tough call. He checks off a lot of boxes because, you know, as Mackenzie said, this team can't be a bunch of, you know, 18-year-old puppies, and that's not the way the Rangers are going to operate. And, you know, you would... Oh, my God.
That was Kaylin's.
That was what she wanted.
She heard the word puppy and she made a sound.
I'm not editing anything out of this. Even my Ruby's Rubles thing. I'm not editing anything out.
I don't even want to talk now. I just want to hear more Kalen sound.
Also, the other thing, Kovalchuk is he's a winger. He's not a center. So you're not even taking away the development track of Hedel and Anderson. And I guess we have to include like Brett Howden on this list now as well, since he's coming up through the ranks.
Oh, that's true. He's another center prospect. Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho,
can you talk about how much fun Hedl is to watch for just like 2 seconds?
Hedl is very fun to watch.
Yes, as fun to watch as anyone that I've seen in a long time, especially.
Oh,
Hedl feels like he would have been a great goth kid in high school.
What?
I know Beth calls her child goth kid, so now
I know, but like, imagine Hedl in like a black t-shirt with like a white skull on it, and then like a choker collar with a bunch of spikes around it and like a little bit of eyeliner.
Yep.
A little black eyeliner.
Hopefully you've enjoyed this new show with the new everything. We're going to get Beth the microphone, and we're going to do that through Patreon. So
Kaylin, say something else. I want to hear more Kaylin.
I'll try to get her to speak. Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. Anthony Viola, John J. Porter, John Reppy, Johnny Lowe, Alex Gardner, Eric Cohn, who joined us last week, Alexander Ricard, Daniel DeGem, Matt Bader, George Lippman, Guy from Montana, Stink Fleeman, Dan's Lynch, Mike Offit, Trevor Kempner, Gabriel Vargas, Dan Carosi, David L. Singer, Mark Williams, Bob Kawa, Scott Potash, Darwin Bushman, James Dangles, great hockey name, Danny Santiago, great book name, Grumpy Smokey, Igor Zatlovsky, Thomas Osa, Chris B., and Michael Silvers. Thank you all for donating. Michael Silvers, thank you all for donating.
Ask Kaylin if she thinks the Rangers should trade Zouk.
Yeah.
Kaylin, should the Rangers trade Zuccarello? I'm going to put her to the microphone. We'll see if she does anything. All right, come here. You going to have something to say?
Good podcast content.
Anything? You hear her breathing. Who loves you? No?
You don't want to talk?
No? All right, she doesn't want to say anything. She has no... She agrees with her father. That's what she says.
She was audibly gasping at the very idea.
I mean, it would be a horrible situation, but...
Yeah.
It's one of the...
I just stop at horrible situations.
Yeah, I don't think it's a necessity, because you can choose to move him at the deadline. And you can choose to be like, hey, Zouk, what do you think about being the leader of this team, signing a contract extension and knowing that this is what we can pay you and that it's going to be a rocky road here for a couple of years? And he might say, like, you've ripped the heart out of me. You've traded everyone I love. Why would I do this? Why have you done this to me? And then, you know, you have a much different conversation then. I think then you worry about his happiness. But yeah.
Tom, you're the voice of logic. What do you think about Zouk?
I think it's a situation with Zouk that if he I think he has value to this team, both in staying and both in getting traded. It really comes down to what type of direction they want to go in. And if this is a situation where they want to establish new leadership, then he's going to go. And I wouldn't want him to leave. I think that he's a player that has value now. You could even re-sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal because you are still going to need veterans along the way. But I think it's up in the air right now. If they're given an offer, then I think they'll consider it. But I really think that they could move him at the draft for a first round pick, which would give them a lot of flexibility with some of their other picks.
That was Kaylin breathing heavily into the microphone. Listen to her.
She's anxious about trading. Yeah.
Yep, there she is. All right. What have we got something to say? Anyway, we hope you all have enjoyed this first airing of us not being live. I think it makes much better. And tomorrow when I listen to it, I have a feeling that it's going to sound much better. So thank you all. Give big ovation to us.
Terrible. It's terrible, and Jeff.
Was that rain?
It's clapping. We will. All right. You know what? Goodbye. We'll see you all next week.
Goodbye, Beth, everyone. Is a whale. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.